Hey there, Chip Close here, host of the Restaurant Strategy Podcast. You are in the midst of a 10-episode arc that I've dubbed Fixing Restaurants. I did something similar last summer, so I'm bringing it back this summer. We're talking all about the things that are broken in our industry and, most importantly, how to fix them. Today, I want to talk about evolution. It's something we don't do very well because I think it's something we fail to acknowledge, to recognize as something we can and should be doing. So today, we're going to talk about the problem, and most importantly, we're going to talk about the solution, how you can put things into practice day by day, little by little, starting now. There's an old saying that goes something like this. You'll only find three kinds of people in the world: those who see, those who will never see, and those who can see when shown. This is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast with answers for anyone who's looking. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. My name is Chip Close, and this is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast dedicated solely to helping independent operators build more profitable restaurants. Each week, I leverage my 25 years in the industry to help you do just that, to build a more profitable and sustainable enterprise. I also work with owners and operators all over the world through my different coaching programs, the P3 Mastermind and the Restaurant Foundations program. I also wrote a book, and so listen up. It's called The Restaurant Marketing Mindset, and you can get a copy for free. You just pay shipping. You do that by going to my Instagram channel, right? At Restaurant Strategy. When you're there, you go and you send me a DM with the word book, B-O-O-K. That will kick off an automation. A link will be sent to you to get that book for free. You just have to pay the shipping. Best of all, you also get granted access into the Restaurant Foundations program. Now, this is regularly $97 a month. You get it for free for a month to check out, to try out, get in there, watch all the video content, absorb all of the resources. We have templates, bundles, spreadsheets, everything is in there. Plus, you get a monthly masterclass. You get an Ask Me Anything session where you get to hop on to a Zoom session with me once a month. You get that for free for a month. And if you want to stick around, you'll start charging $97 after that first month. If you get to the end of it and you just want to cancel, totally fine. All of that stuff ends up to be a nice complement to all of the tactics, insights, and strategies in the book. So if you want the book for free, The Restaurant Marketing Mindset, click the link in the show notes. That will take you directly there to the Instagram page, or you can just go to Instagram at Restaurant Strategy, go to the DMs, message me, send me a DM with the word book. Do that. Again, the link is in the show notes. It's the best way to get my book for free. Okay. Now, thousands of restaurants across the country use Kickfin to send instant cashless tip payouts directly to their employees' bank accounts the second their shift ends. It's a really simple solution to a really big problem because, let's face it, paying out cash tips to your workers day after day, shift after shift, can be kind of a nightmare. Tedious tip distribution takes managers away from the work that actually matters. It's hard to track payments, which leads to accounting and compliance headaches. Plus, cash tip outs create the perfect opportunity for theft. And there's never enough cash on hand to pay out those tips. So your managers, I know, are having to always make bank runs. Bottom line, there's never been a secure, efficient way to tip out until now. Meet Kickfin. Kickfin is an easy-to-use software that sends real-time, cashless tip payouts straight to your employees' bank accounts 24/7, 365. Tipping out with Kickfin gives managers and operators hours back in their day. It makes reporting a breeze and protects your business from mistakes and theft. And guess what? Employees love it, so it becomes a really powerful recruiting tool. Best of all, restaurants can have Kickfin up and running overnight. Employees can enroll in seconds, no hardware, no contracts, no setup fees. Get in touch today for a personalized demo and see how restaurants and bars across the country are tipping out with Kickfin. Visit kickfin.com/demo, and yes, that link is in the show notes. Now again, we're in the middle of this 10-episode arc dubbed Fixing Restaurants. There are things that are great about our industry, and yet there are things that are very much broken in our industry. So over the course of these 10 episodes, I'm trying to identify some of the things that are broken, and then I'm trying to give you fixes so you can start to move on the problem, start to make real headway there. Today, I want to talk about evolution. So Evolution for me is an acknowledgement that things are always changing. Things are always in flux, and we need to continue to serve our customers in the way they want to be served. Now, I spent a vast majority of my career in New York City working in fine dining, and a great deal of that time was spent doing restaurant openings. Now, the thing about restaurant openings, especially in New York City, and I was there at a time when the Michelin Guide had just moved in, when the restaurant critic at the New York Times was a very, very big deal. You needed, especially being a fine dining restaurant, you needed a rave review to fill your seats for a year or two, and then after that, you could build up retention in other ways. But you needed the PR blitz, you needed that press to fill your seats for that first year. So getting it right out of the gate was absolutely crucial. And it's really strange though, right? What a restaurant is in its first 3 months is often not what it is 3 years later. And there's so many examples over and over and over. And this pressure to get it right, to have this fully formed idea right out of the womb, I think is unrealistic. I think it's impractical. And I don't think it's very smart. I certainly don't think it's business savvy. So when we talk about evolution, I think where a lot of restaurants fail is in their ability to keep moving and to keep changing and to keep your finger on the pulse of what your customers actually need. The most obvious, perfect example I can give of this, and I've given this example on the show, but if you're new to the show, maybe you haven't heard this, but way back during the pandemic, right? So our job is to serve our customers, serve our guests. And anybody, you know, a full service restaurant that made the majority of their money, if not all of their money, one way, meaning people came in, they had a meal, they paid for it and left. Once the pandemic hit, once the government shut down all restaurants for indoor dining, if that was how you made your money, you didn't have any way to make money. And so we talked a lot at the time about the pivot. And for me, the word I kept using on this show was evolution, right? You pivoted, meaning you were doing in-person, you know, seated dinner, and then the government wouldn't let you do that anymore. So you had to pivot towards takeout and delivery. You had to pivot towards cooking classes. You had to pivot towards take and bake, you know, pre-made meals, all of that. I get it. You pivoted from one thing to the other. But really what it has to do with is evolution. Evolution means changing to fit the needs of your consumer, of the consumer, right? Is that a customer needed one thing from you, and then when they didn't need that anymore because they weren't allowed to, the merchants that then pivoted, that then evolved and said, I know you still need us. Those are the ones that succeeded. In fact, I went on the record here at the time and I said, any restaurant that just sort of closed up shop during the pandemic, that either, you know, just sort of stopped operation, missed out on an incredible opportunity to learn in real time. And I don't begrudge anybody for making the decisions they made. I know it was a very difficult time. But I worked with restaurants that just closed up shop and said, we'll see you in 6 months. And I worked at a lot of restaurants that tried to grind through there. And there were years of business education that happened in a matter of 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And I watched it happen in real time because they learned how to ask people what they needed. They learned how to give them what they needed to change their operation to be able to deliver something else. That is a very extreme, exaggerated version of evolution. The bottom line is, what a consumer wants at one point, right, that changes. Think about how much the world has changed in 30 years, right? 30 years ago, we really didn't have the internet, certainly not like we have now, right? And 25 years ago, we had, basic internet, right? Still not every home had a home computer, right? I went to college without a computer, however, 25 years ago or whatever it was, right? Just to give you some insight. We're not that far away. Right now, a kid can't make it through high school without a computer, let alone college. So now what is required, right? The evolution of what is required to attend high school or college has changed dramatically. But I went away to college, not with a computer, knowing that, okay, I would just use the computer lab. And that's what I did for 4 years at college, which is unconscionable at this point. But that was the reality for me and hundreds of other people, even just in my school, right? It was about 50-50. Half the people went to school with a computer, half the people did not have a computer. I was one of those that did not have a computer. So when you look at how the world has evolved, right? When you look at how industries have evolved, right? Huge industries. The movie industry is totally different. TV now with streaming is totally different. Music, right? We used to go to The Wall or Sam Goody and buy CDs. And now we just all have Spotify. Why spend $20 for a CD when we can spend $16 and get all the CDs every single month? It's a no-brainer, right? If you bought a CD every month, it's basically like buying all the CDs every month. CD, I'm dating myself, right? Because you can, I went and bought CDs during high school. So you think about how movies, how TV, how music, publishing. Look at how publishing has changed now with self-publishing and Amazon and hybrid publishing models. Right? Think about how magazines and newspapers have changed. Right? Everybody used to get the print version, the paper copy of the New York Times. People swore they were never going to get the digital version. And now the digital version of the New York Times is better because they can do better features. They can use mixed media. They can use different graphics, things like that. It's better. It's better than what you can put in print. You could change it in real time. It can be living, breathing. It can live there forever. I can go on and on and on. And I think what happens with our industry is that industry-wide, we are very slow to change, very slow to evolve. And concept by concept, we don't allow ourselves to evolve. We feel like we come up with this fully formed idea. We go find a place, right? We pay the rent. We do all the renovations and we open up shop as this fully formed thing. Again, I've done enough restaurant openings to know this, and I've given this advice multiple times. But I say wait as long as humanly possible to give your restaurant away, meaning to open for good. Because it doesn't matter what you thought your restaurant was going to be. All that matters is what the consumer wants it to be. As soon as you open the doors and you let people in, they will begin using the restaurant and using the space the way that they see fit. They will order from the menu the way that they want to order from it. They will amend the menu and ask for changes and substitutions in the ways that they want. So if you could hold that as long as possible to really understand what it is you want and how to get people to want what you want, there's an art and a science to that. But as soon as you give it away, it begins to change. And you have to be willing to change. I've seen multiple restaurants. Multiple restaurants have done this. Oh, we have a bar and then we've got this area here for a lounge. And the lounge gets unseated. Nobody wants to be there. It's space that is non-revenue generating. So pull out the lounge chairs, put in regular seating because we're on a 45-minute wait every Friday and Saturday night. I can seat those. I can put four tables there and I can turn them two times every Friday and Saturday night. Even just four deuces, eight covers times two, it's 16 covers. It's $100 a head. That's real money you can generate off that real estate. It's, again, another easy example to talk about evolution, but you wouldn't believe how myopic we can get because we intended this space to operate this way rather than thinking about the way that the people want it to be used. There's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to improve as we go along by evolving. So that's the problem. And what I want to do is I want to spend the rest of our time together today talking about how we fix it, how we begin to change our mindset, how you can change your mindset little by little, minute by minute, day by day, and get better and better and better and stay with your people to serve them in the ways that they actually need to be served. All of that in just a second after a word from another one of our sponsors. Pop Menu has reimagined the restaurant. They're breaking the mold of the menu, taking the kitchen doors off the hinges, and serving up their most comprehensive technology solution yet. It's called Pop Menu Max. It comes with all the ingredients you've heard me mention on this podcast, right? So websites designed with SEO, marketing tools to keep you top of mind with guests, and of course, the patented interactive menu technology. But now this new recipe brings automated phone answering, third-party online order aggregation, waitlisting, and more to the table. PopMenu's phone answering, for example, that technology has your ringing phones covered. With AI, the simple questions that keep your phone line tied up now can be handled without pulling a staff member from your in-person hospitality. So No more missed reservations. No more asking for your hours. No more missed revenue. And that's just the beginning. You have a passion for food. Pop Menu has a passion for technology. Together, it's a recipe for restaurant success. And now, even more digital ingredients are in their technology pantry, and Pop Menu is helping restaurants attract, engage, remarket, and transact with their guests on a whole new level. Trust me, if you're a restaurant owner, you need Pop Menu to take your business to the next level. For a limited time only, you get $100 off your first month, plus you get to lock in one flat, unchanging monthly rate. Go to popmenu.com/restaurantstrategy to claim this offer. Again, that's $100 off your first month by visiting popmenu.com/restaurantstrategy. As always, you'll find that link in the show notes. Okay, now today we're talking about evolution. I think I've outlined the problem. Problems in two prongs. Number one, I think our industry is slow to adapt, slow to evolve, as every other major industry, from movies, TV, publishing, music, travel, education, on and on and on. Everything has changed around us, and still we stay stuck in the mud. I'm going to talk about that, how we begin to fix that. And the second piece is that concepts, our restaurants, our individual restaurants, often fail to evolve because we don't let them evolve. So let's talk about how we begin to fix that. We'll take the one prong and then the second prong. Number one, industry-wide. We are slow to evolve. We are slow to adopt new technology. We're slow to adopt new ways of doing things. And I think that will slowly erode the relationships we have with our customers, right? Perfect example, I was seeing this the other day and said, you know, all this technology, I was reading an article by Pete Wells. So Pete Wells is the New York Times food critic. He's leaving the Post after 12 years. And I read this article, his last column was talking basically about how he felt that we go out to restaurants to be a part of a community, to engage with our guests and other people that we don't know and our servers and all of that. And that he felt like technology was eroding that relationship. And he made some okay points. But largely, I think he failed to miss the point, right? Number one, he comes from a very narrow worldview. He lives in one of the biggest and greatest cities in the world. He mostly ends up reviewing high-end restaurants or sought-after sort of exclusive restaurants. And when you're going out to spend $100, $150, $200 plus per person per, you know, for a meal, then yeah, of course, I want somebody well-dressed greeting me at the front door. I want someone to take my coat. I want someone to walk us to the table, pull out a chair for my wife. I want someone to walk me through the menu and bring me everything I need when I'm spending that kind of money. Absolutely. But not every restaurant needs that. Now, the first point of evolution here is that I think our restaurants are changing, specifically because technology is bringing efficiency in areas that we never thought possible. Again, the restaurant model we currently know was born, right? So the fast casual quick service was born 2,000 years ago, right? Ancient Rome, Greece, they have restaurants like this. You can go to Pompeii and see the early restaurants. It sort of looks like a prep. It sort of looks like a soup concept, right? You go to the counter, you get your soup, your sandwich, you pay and you go, you know, you sit on the street, sit on a bench and eat it. It's pretty much, that's the way it was 2,000 years ago. We got those. The model we know for full service restaurants, right, was pretty much invented 250 years ago in Paris, France. Right. And that model, right, where you come in, they give you a list of stuff that you can order. You tell them what you want from that list. They go tell the chef makes it, they bring it to you. You eat over the course of your meal, you pay for what you consume, and then you leave. That model was relatively new, right? Models didn't exist that way. I mean, if you look in ancient China, it was more like food halls, right? That there were waiters, but waiters went around to all the different vendors and brought you what you wanted. So instead of you going from vendor to vendor and then finding a table, they had people, runners, what we would now call waiters, to ask you what you want and then go to the different stalls, get you what you want and bring it to you, right? So like there are all kinds of different models of this, and I could give another dozen versions of how restaurants used to operate. But the version we now have for full service restaurants is novel. It's still relatively new. Doesn't mean it can't change. It will evolve by all means. If it's the best way of doing things, if it's the most efficient way of doing things, then great, it will stay. But you know what? I don't think it's the most efficient or best way of doing things. Perfect example. I think a plain piece of paper with writing on it isn't necessarily the best way to explain to me about the dishes, right? To help me make a decision. I think pictures, I think videos I think some sort of graphic animation would help me better than me saying, hey, can you tell me more about the duck? And the server saying, yeah, absolutely. Well, it's roasted with this and blah, 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 blah. Show me a picture of it. Show me it being cut open. That will give me a sense of what it is. We can do that digitally in a way we can't do that with a paper menu. So yeah, we can hold on to the romance of a paper menu. But just understand the only reason we're holding on to that is because we feel romantic. We've romanticized the paper menu, but it's not better than alternatives out there. Now, the alternatives that are out there do have to continue to get better. I totally agree with that. But there's no way you can tell me that a printed menu does a better job in explaining the dish than a picture or a video would. It's just not true. Wouldn't it be better if I had a digital menu where if there was words I didn't know, I could just tap it rather than looking foolish in front of the waiter or in front of my guests, being embarrassed that there's a word I should know? Shouldn't it just be able to tap it and say, oh, that's what that is. Gotcha. I didn't realize that. I never heard that word before. Right? I think so. That'll come. I think we can get better. And so as we talk about evolution, we talked about McDonald's. I like to talk about McDonald's because it's an example that everybody knows, and it doesn't matter whether you like McDonald's or not. McDonald's, the way that they've evolved their operation over the last, let's say, 5 or 6 years, has helped them be better, a better version of themselves. If they exist for convenience and efficiency, they are the most convenient version of themselves. They are the most efficient version of themselves that they've ever been. So kudos to them. And what helped them do that is through technology. Technology can and will help us if we let it. There are plenty of restaurants, and I've said this before, plenty of restaurants that exist for the experience of it, right? And for those restaurants, we pay extra because it requires more people to make happen, right? So taking aside the quality of the food, the amount of people it takes to make a place like that operate requires that we charge a certain amount. So there are certain restaurants where we will want experience, where we will want something extra. I think we're going to have to pay extra for that. We do pay extra for that. But I think what's happening now is that there are plenty of restaurants that only exist for convenience. I do not go to McDonald's for the McDonald's experience. I go because I'm running late, because I just need something quick. Even though I know it's not particularly healthy and I'm going to regret it maybe later, I do it when I need something quick. And you know what it does? It's convenient because they're everywhere and it's quick. It's efficient. There are plenty of other restaurants. And so if you look at any fast casual, if you look at a Panera, if you look at a Chipotle, if you look at all of these things, it's not the best version of itself yet. Chipotle basically came on the market, what, 15 years ago, 20 years ago? And they are still some version of what they do. They are not the best. Now we can make the case for it being an experiential restaurant, meaning you go in the experience of picking out your bowl or telling someone exactly what you want in your burrito, fine. It's inefficient, but if the experience of it is their main draw, then great, they should stay exactly like they are. But I think also their people are not adding to the experience. I think most of the people that I come across are sort of grumpy. They're sort of talking to each other. They're on their phones. They're not engaging with the guests. So it's a big problem. If they're going to double down on that, they really got to double down on that. So industry-wide, I think we have to be willing to evolve and understand that the world is changing. As technology affects all of our lives in profound ways, again, think of the way you shop now. Think of the way you book vacations now. Think of the way you are educated now. Think of the way you watch TV now. All of it is wildly different than it was 20 or 25 years ago. Same thing is true, can be true for restaurants. So why would we hold on to doing things the way we did things 25 years ago or 50 years ago or 250 years ago? There is a better way to execute the restaurant you're looking for. And when I say better, I mean better for the guest experience, better for you profitability-wise. If only we were so bold as to embrace it, as to acknowledge it, embrace it, and take steps to evolve. Now, the next piece to this that I want to talk about, right? And so how do we fix things? You first have to wrap your head around that problem. Number one, are you experiential or are you based on convenience? Right? I use the bagel place down the street here all the time as an example. It is not experiential. Food's not that good. It's a good bagel sandwich. I can get a sausage, egg, and cheese, put it on a bagel. It's great. It takes way too long for what it is. And I think there's a better version of doing that. If they had online ordering available, if they have kiosks available. Because right now you got to give your order to the guy. The guy writes it down, right? Takes off his gloves, write it down, puts on his gloves, go makes the food, comes back with the food, takes off his gloves, charges you, asks the next person what they want, puts on his gloves, goes and makes that. I mean, it's very inefficient. Wouldn't it be better if they just had a kiosk where I could order and pay and that guy can just make food, make food, make food, make food? They can do probably, I'm guessing, twice the business out of that little place if they brought some efficiency into it. Technology would help bring that efficiency. What you need to do, the first step, how we fix restaurants, is you need to be really clear which side of that line you are on, convenience or experience. And whatever side you're on, you've got to double down on that. Again, the pitfalls here are Chipotle. If we say, hey, Chipotle could be more efficient, but they choose not to be because they like the experience of it, then they have to double down and make it a really great experience. Because right now, it's just Chipotle. Nothing special. Who cares? But they could be, with just a little bit of effort, the best version of themselves in the ways that McDonald's has become the best version of themselves. Make sense? I hope it makes sense. So let's talk now about the concept level. So many restaurants, so many owners out there, operators out there, come up with a great idea for a place, come up fully formed, and they work really hard to get it exactly the way it is in their head, and they open, and then they hold tight to that. And I understand there's some things you have to hold tight on, but not everything, and not always. What happens when you give a restaurant away, the consumer makes it into what they want. And you have to be willing to listen to them. Again, I gave the example of the restaurant where I worked at that had a lounge in the front of the restaurant. And the lounge hardly got used. When you look at the kind of revenue that it would generate on a daily basis, it was laughable compared to if they had just repurposed that into Four Deuces. Again, Four Deuces, you do two turns. It'd be all too easy to make some really good money there. You have to be willing to evolve. You have to be willing to look at your consumer, do everything you need to do, make sure it's all dialed in, but then watch how people enter the building. Watch how people move throughout the room. Listen to the questions they ask. Look at the things they order and the things they don't order, and be willing to make changes in real time, month, every month, if need be. And here's the key. The key for how we fix this problem was right there. I just gave it to you. Spend time in your restaurant. Eavesdrop. Listen to the questions. Run your product mix. Look at your check average on nights of the week, day parts. See what people spend money on. See what they don't spend money on. If you got a huge wine list, people aren't buying wine. You don't have wine drinkers. So either you have to do a better job of cultivating wine drinkers, or you have to amend your beverage program because you have tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars or more sitting in inventory to stock up a sizable wine list. Same is true with beers or spirits or your cocktail program or your menu. If you're paying all this money to have a really great dessert program, really great pastry program, for the most part, people don't order desserts, you got to figure out how to fix that. That might be fixed by making the savory portions smaller, or making the savory food lighter so that people still have room, don't feel like, you know, they've gorged themselves up to that point. Or maybe you need lighter desserts or just less dessert, maybe one really great, fantastic dessert. The number of restaurants I've been to over the last, let's say, 3 or 4 years that literally have one dessert or two desserts, I can't tell you how many places I've walked into. And they say, you know, can I interest you in dessert? I say, sure, we'll take a look at the menu because everybody knows I have a crazy sweet tooth. But I always say, yeah, I'll take a look at the menu. They say, actually, we don't have a menu. We only have two items. Let me tell you what they are. It's this, blah, 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 or this, blah, 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 blah. Both are excellent. They've really become our signatures, so that's all we serve. Usually we order one or the other, or when you're with me, usually we order both. The number of places that do that is incredible. They've evolved. They've known they can probably cut a person in the kitchen, offer the very best desserts they can, and keep it really efficient. The best thing you can do is look at the data. Do research about your place. Market research is simple observation. Talking to your people. both your staff and your guests, running the data, looking at the profitability of your dishes, looking at the popularity of your dishes, right? Those are recipe cards and a product mix. Use that to make decisions about your restaurant, and don't be afraid to make changes. Now, not wholesale changes, but something little by little. Every month, you should be changing something about your restaurant. Every month, little by little, and that's how your place evolves. Just like a species evolves over thousands of years or millions of years, so too can your restaurant, month by month by month by month, so that 2 years from now, it's maybe a very different restaurant from what it was when it started. But that's okay, because you will have been listening to your customers and trying to deliver what it is they're telling you they want. When you deliver what people want, you are more successful than you can possibly imagine. So we talk about evolution, it's really in two parts. Number one is an industry, number two as at an operator level. I challenge you to do that. Listen, I appreciate you being here, guys. I'll remind you again about my book, The Restaurant Marketing Mindset. Go to our Instagram page at Restaurant Strategy and DM me the word book, B-O-O-K. It will set off an automation where you'll automatically be sent a link to get that book for free. You just pay shipping. You will also get free access to my Restaurant Foundations program. It starts charging $97 after that free month. So if you want to cancel, by all means, you can cancel at any point. Otherwise, I hope you enjoy that community. Right now, we've got almost 200 people in that community, and we just launched it 3 months ago. So, I mean, it's really incredible how this thing has taken off. Guys, I appreciate you being here. Thank you very much, and I will see you next time.